Thank you, David. Had you led one more song, I would have had to have cut my sermon. Gets a little tempting at times, doesn't it? I heard you, brother. For that, I will extend it tonight. Thank you for being here. I chose not to wear a coat tonight, and a little warm outside, a little warm in here. And for all of you folks who freeze, I thought it would be best for me to just take my coat off, huh? And a man was walking down the street one day when he noticed a very small boy trying to press a doorbell on a house across the street. However, the boy was pretty small, and the doorbell was too high for him to reach. And after watching the boy's efforts for some time, a man moved over closer to the boy's position. He stepped up very quickly, walked up behind the little fella, and placing his hand on the child's shoulder, leaned over and gave the doorbell a solid ring. And crouching down to the child's level, the man smiled and benevolently asked. He said, "And now what, my little man?" And the little boy said, "Now we run." Well, you know, Jesus, in the book of Matthew 18, verse 1, after he had foretold of his coming death upon the cross, gave these words of encouragement to his disciples. He said, in answer to a question that they had asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child and set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly, I say unto you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whosoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, the New King James translation and the King James translation was very correct when they translated that word children or the word child to little children, because that really is the way it was to be translated correctly. You know, there's a difference between a child and little children, or a little child and just children. And so anyway, when Jesus spoke this word, I picture him taking a young child, maybe a little boy, and placing him on his lap, maybe 2, 3, 4 years old, maybe somewhere within that neighborhood. It would be conjecture on my part to really tell you most definitely the age of a child. But the translation lends itself to that thought. That he took a little child and placed him in their midst, and he said, "I want you to know something, that unless you emulate what you see in this little child, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." You know, that particular passage has puzzled a lot of people through the years. It has puzzled a lot of people because sometimes we know that little children are not little angels. Do you all agree with that? Except your grandchildren, I know. But children do not always act like we would like for them to act. And so why in the world would Christ take a child and use a child as an example? You know, some children are pretty smart. Some are not. Little boy said to his uncle one time, he said, "Thanks for the harmonica." He said that to his uncle right after Christmas. And little Johnny said, "It's the best present I've ever gotten." His uncle said, "Well, that's great." He says, "Do you know how to play it?" And he said, "No, I don't know how to play it." He said, "My mom gives me $1 a day not to play it during the day, and my dad gives me $5 a week not to play it at night. Sometimes children are really conniving and very ingenious in what they do. Now, I rather think that there were a number of things that Christ had in mind when he put this child in his lap and used the child as a prop or perhaps as an illustration or as a visual aid, if you want to call it that. I guess you could call it his PowerPoint. And there are several things that you and I could learn from this little child. But what would they be? Well, Christ obviously talked about humility, number one. He said, and whosoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of God. We have never, most people in the world tonight, would never ever equate humility as something that was classified as greatness. But Jesus did. He would take an unassuming child who had no pride, who was not haughty in any way, but very humble. And he would say to the disciples, unless you become as this little child, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. That child must have been a very submissive child. That's a lesson in itself, isn't it? Humility is something that provokes submission. If a person is humble, and I think the Bible teaches us that we ought to be, James says that God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 6, the apostle said, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive one to another and be clothed, he says, in and with humility. For God does resist the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. It's almost like that passage in James, isn't it? And therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Do you realize that if we are humble, not only are we submissive, but we become teachable? You know, if a child, I have learned that through the years in my life as a minister of the gospel. People that really are humble are people that are willing to learn. They are teachable. Some people you can't teach. It goes in one ear and out the other. They never learn. They never grasp it. And they're not interested in it. And for them, worship is just sheer boredom. But for people who are humble under the mighty hand of God, they are people that are teachable and willing to learn. There is a quest for knowledge in little children. I have learned that from my own grandchildren. Probably you have too. Maybe, if I could remember back to my daughters, I probably would say the same thing. But generally, one of the first questions that a little child will ask, and I know my grandchildren ask it, and especially Susan, she says, what's that? What's that? And you can repeat it over and over and over again, and what's that? What's that? But you know, as kids get a little bit older, they quit asking that question. And they start saying, I know. I know. We need the humility of a little child who is open to learning and is desirous of knowledge. If we are humble, thirdly, we are not pretentious. You know, there's a lot of pretension about people in this world. You just watch people, and they're so filled with pride sometimes, it makes you sick. But not this little child. Little children are submissive, but there's nothing pretentious about them. What you see is what you get. Shouldn't we be aware of our own weaknesses and shortcomings? Little children are. But little children, I think one of the great lessons that Christ taught here is not only the spirit of humility, but secondly, a little child or little children have a tremendous amount of faith and trust in their parents and those who are close to them. They do. You know, I had a great deal of trust in my parents. I did. And it makes me feel good to know that my grandchildren trust me as well. And trust is something that is earned. When I was young, I do not remember really having a care about where the next meal is coming from, not really because I knew that my mother and my father would see that it was taken care of. There was a feeling of security by being in their presence. And don't we need that kind of faith in our Heavenly Father? Jesus, in the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, in verse 24 and following, said, "No," he said, "no one can serve two masters." He said, "Either he will hate the one, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or the world, or wealth. Therefore, I say unto you, do not worry about your life, for what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you're going to put on." He said, "Is not life more than food, and the body more important than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." And then Christ turns to him and asks a question. He says, "Are ye not much better than they?" We need to trust God. I think when Christ put that little child on his lap, he was saying to these disciples, "Hey, look, you become like this child. You be humble. You be humble, but you be trusting as well." Like that, you know, I can just imagine the eyes of that little child looking up to Jesus in great confidence and trust. Over and over throughout the Bible, the Word of God teaches us to trust. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and don't lean to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him." Acknowledge God. But then there's a third point, I think, that Christ was trying to convey with this little child. Little children have a tremendous love for their parents. They are not ashamed. You ever notice that? We got a lot of little kids in this church. David and I were talking this morning, and we were getting ready for the song service. He says, "You know, doesn't it sound good to hear these little kids cry?" I said, "Yeah, it sounds great to hear all these kids in the church." And it's amazing. We got more on the way. Isn't that wonderful? It is. Just stop and think about that. But one thing I've noticed about these little children, it doesn't embarrass them to walk up and hug their mama and their daddy, or to lean over and kiss them, or to curl up in their arms. I've often wondered, do we love God that much? Jesus says this is the way you've got to become. You know, there's an old song that used to be really one of my favorite songs. There are so many of them in a book, I guess I call my favorite song. But one of them was "Safe in the Arms of Jesus," and the writer of that song, no doubt, had in mind what Christ was trying to convey to the disciples about this little child. Say, I'm safe in the arms of Jesus. Do we love God that much? In the 22nd chapter of Matthew, beginning in verse 35, Jesus said, "Then one of them, a young lawyer, came to him and asked him," he said, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment of all?" And Jesus responded in this way. He said, "I would tell you that it is this, that you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength." And he said, "Now wait a minute, there's another one also. And that is that you must love your neighbor as yourself." And by the way, the whole law of God hinge on these two commands, he says. Not only the law, but the prophets also. Little children feel secure in the presence of their parents and want to be with them as little children. It's only later that they become ashamed of them. I don't know if you ever experienced this. Those of you that had children probably did. I did. Back when my kids were real little and I'd take them to school in the morning, they were so excited, they wanted me to do it. And I'd take them to school, and they were so excited, and I'd pull up to that front door and let them out, and boy, they'd hit that door. And as they got a little bit older, and they started attending Davy Crockett Junior High down here, they said, "Daddy, could you let us out back down here about two blocks away from the school?" I said, "What?" I said, would you let us out about two blocks away from the front door? I said, "What are you talking about?" "Well, we don't want all of our friends to see us. Get out of the car." Have to admit, it was an old beat-up station wagon. Children change. Jesus did not take a teenager and put the teenager in his lap and say, "You become like this teenager." But he said, "You become like this little child." And I know children sometimes can grate on your nerves. But Jesus was talking about, and Jesus always did that. I mean, you know, always looked at the good qualities, whether you're talking about children or whether you're talking about adults. He always looked for the potential. He did. Little children love to be close to their parents. Sometimes they don't want to get out of the sight of their parents. Let me ask you a question. Do you love being close to God? I think that's what he was saying. Do you worship in the presence of God as you ought? I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. You're here on Sunday night. Maybe I should ask that question on Sunday morning. Do you come to worship as you ought? And with your private prayer life and your Bible study time, how close are you to God? But then last of all, there's one lesson that Jesus really wanted to get across to his disciples. And it was this one. Little children are totally forgiving. Have you ever noticed that? I kept our grandkids this afternoon. I saw it. I knew we'd be fighting 1 minute. And matter of fact, I almost changed my lesson tonight. They'd be fighting 1 minute, and then the next minute they were hugging one another. They not only forgive, they basically forget. I have never seen one of my grandchildren say that to one another. "Well, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget it." When they forgive, it's all over. It's like it never, ever happened. But sometimes in life, we go through life harboring all those hurts. It was a story told about two friends who were walking through the desert one time, and during some point of the journey, they had had an argument. And one friend slapped the other one across the face, and the one who got slapped was hurt, but without saying anything at all, he wrote it in the sand. And this is what he wrote: "Today, my best friend slapped me in the face." They kept on walking until they found an oasis where they decided to take a bath. And the one who had been slapped got stuck in the mire and started to drown. But his friend saved him, and after he recovered from the near drowning, he carved on a stone, "Today, my best friend saved my life." The friend who had slapped and saved his best friend, ask him, "After I hurt you, you wrote in the sand, and now you carve on a stone. But why?" And the other friend replied, "When someone hurts us, we should write it in the sand, where the winds of forgiveness can erase it away. But when someone does something good for us, we must engrave it in stone where no wind can ever, ever erase it." And I think if there's a lesson in all of that, it is that we ought to write our hurts in the sand, and we must carve our blessings in stone. You see, Jesus said in Matthew, the 6th chapter, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you will not forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will not forgive you your trespasses." When little children are disciplined for wrongdoing, they do not hold resentment toward their parents. Have you ever noticed that? You spank a little child. You know what that child immediately does? That child will immediately run to the arms of the parent. It's true. You know, God disciplines us. When John penned the book of Revelation from the Isle of Patmos, he would write these words recorded of Jesus: "Those that I love, I rebuke and chasten." Sometimes we resent the chastening of God. I never have. Because I always believed it was for a reason, and I always felt it was the chastening of God. But I knew that God loved me. And there are times when all of us ought to turn to God and thank Him for the chastisement that He brings our way. Unless you become like little children, Jesus says you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's a lesson that all of us ought to learn. It's a tough one sometimes, but it's true. Humility, submissiveness, trust, they're so important. And that's what God asks us to do, isn't it, when we come to Him? To trust Him, give Him your life, run to His arms out of great love, and when He chastises you, allow that love to grow even deeper. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not God's child, I can't imagine anybody going through this life without being a child of God. All the heartache and the hurt that we experience here, not knowing that there's a God out there who loves us, who's going to secure us and take care of us, well, it'd be a hopeless feeling, as we talked about this morning. But if you really know that God is with you, it's like Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans chapter 8. So I hope tonight that you have that relationship with God. If you don't, you can do it tonight, like two who were baptized this week into Christ for the remission of sin. But turning to Him out of a deep love and an humble heart. I've always said the way you get people down the aisle is to get them to be humble. You don't do it any other way. Pride gets in the way a lot of times, keeps us from doing what we know we ought to do. Maybe tonight, if you're humble enough and you know down deep in your heart that maybe even as a Christian, you are not what you ought to be, you failed, you made mistakes, but like that little child, you're ready to jump back up in the arms of Jesus. I hope you'll do it while we stand.